This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with... This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oops. My face is red as my hair.
Yes, it is. You pushed the wrong button over there on your thing.
I certainly did. How are you, Mike?
Well, right now I'm warm. Outside it's kind of nippy, cooly, and a little drizzly.
Oh, is it? Cool. Yeah. Well, that's your kind of weather, though.
It is. I love it. Yeah. I love it. My creek is finally running.
Creek
I've been
will rise.
And waiting and waiting. It's not running a lot, but it's running.
It's getting there. Kind of.
Actually moving. You can see it moving. Ah, man. Well, thank you for listening today. This is a show about your landscaping, your garden. If you have questions, all you have to do is call me at 673-4464. Ask your question, and I'll give you the correct answer, 100% guaranteed. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay, so have your questions ready. It doesn't matter if it's the lawns or your gardens or your trees or shrubs or rhododendrons or whatever you got there that you don't know what to do with them. Well, I'll let you know what you can do with them so they'll be better than they've ever been in their entire lives.
Nice.
So, at any rate, I don't know, when I started this, my notes, it hadn't rained yet, you know, and I thought, well, I don't know how many more dry days, you know, we're going to have, but, you know, we were in great need of some significant rain. Well, finally, my dream storm came through with about a half an inch of rain, I think, and, but if we only get half an inch, that'd only be like, 3.5 inches a week, enough to soak slowly into the ground and to get the creeks running and the rivers moving to flush out all that algae that's been hanging around.
Gunk.
Oh, man, it's gunk. You wouldn't want to swim in it right now.
No, sir.
Yeah, and that kind of rain would also begin to fill our reservoirs for next spring and summer. You know, we've got Berry Creek and we've got Galesville and we've got a few others, and... They're pretty far down. I mean, they're basically used for flood control and irrigation, and so they draw that water down significantly during the summer, and depending on the rain that is supposed to come for 4 months or so, 5 months maybe, and from about what, October to April,
yeah, somewhere like in there.
Yeah. You know, it just depends.
I would imagine some of them got hit pretty hard with the wildfires. I mean, getting the water out of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's you know, what we got them for. We got them for recreation. We've got it for flood control. We got it for, you know, helping out on fires. You know, the whole nine yards. And it's
good. It seems to be working.
I'm glad we have them. So,
yes.
That's good. And, you know, think about it this way. Our farms and ranches around our county here, they have to have enough water to irrigate our food sources through the summer season. That's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. And if everything gets way too low, then the produce that they produce doesn't get producted. Didn't get produced anyway, whatever the word
wasn't
is.
Wasn't good quality.
No, it's minimal to say the least.
Yeah.
And the many people who, like I say, fish, swim, boat, you know, they depend on water levels that's going to sustain those activities. And, you know, the most important reason for the ample rainfall, and I say ample, I mean average or above, is to keep our forests alive and growing and, you know, keep the fire danger down. We're always going to have some fire here and there, but the last few years with the dry season, the long-term dry season.
The extreme drought.
And it's just been amazing how many fires and how much ground and trees are destroyed in those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the wildlife, picnicking, hiking, hunting, all
well,
that.
That's pretty much
the whole
gone.
Thing. Yeah, it's gone, or it's, you know, definitely has devastated so many areas. So, but we've had, like I say, too many dry days and dry years in a row, and we need to get back up to the average, or just a little bit more than the average, to hopefully make up for the deficit in, you know, ground moisture, very important for long-term tree growth and trees that are mm-hmm. growing in all our hillsides around here. So
when it does rain, folks, slow down.
Please.
I mean, come on.
There are so many folks that think they're on the Indianapolis 500 out there, and I'm thinking, what are you doing that for? It's too far. You got to hit the brakes. You're bad. It's going to be trouble.
There's a word I call them, but I
only don't, no, no, this is a family show. Please don't. But if this dry trend continues in the future, you know, we have to educate ourselves on what type of landscaping we can do for our yards. We have to seriously search out for plant materials that can withstand hot, dry conditions in our county. That's all there is to it. And if I had a new home with no yard, my first thought would be to create some shade. So if we were to continue, like I say, on the drier side of the precipitation level, you know, creating shade in your yard would be a yep. real plus for your home and your family. And you know, a shady yard is a cooler yard in the middle of July and August. And there are many trees. There's many trees to choose from that are fast growing. They're colorful and they need little care after the first year in the ground. They're pretty much on their own. And the first type of shade trees that comes to my mind are maple trees.
Bingo! I was just going to say that.
Maple trees. There's so many yeah. maple trees. You can't even believe how many maple trees there are around. But
they're pretty colorful this
colorful.
Time of year.
Colorful, and you can see them all around town.
Yeah.
And everywhere right. now, they're just you know, Japanese maples are not a shade tree per se. They can get fairly large over a long period of time, but they're the most colorful fall trees you can get. I mean, sweet gums are very, very colorful with their reds and their oranges and stuff like that. But those Japanese maples, you can't beat them for color. But you have to be, well, you have to have a Japanese maple that's 15 years old
oh,
before
Lord.
You start getting some shade, you know, shade out
yeah.
of it that would be significant
I'll be
enough.
6 feet under by then.
Well, that'll give you some shade.
No, that's true. But plant it now.
let's get through the show first, okay?
Okay.
Oh God. But there are hundreds of varieties of maples to choose from. I mean, really, it's amazing how many varieties. Our native big leaf maple can be seen all over Douglas County. That's
mm-hmm.
that's the ones right now that have the yellow, bright yellow leaves, and they're big. They're big canopy. They're spread. They're a long-lifed tree, and they're native, and they don't need any care. I mean, you just watch them grow. Somehow they find the moisture sufficient to grow. And some years when like in the past 3 years, when the moisture levels were not average,
the best,
the roots continue to go downward until they find sufficient moisture for the tree to grow.
Searching for a home.
Right. And that's the deal there. But they grow fast when they're finally rooted in,
mm-hmm.
and they only need a little water the first year if they're going to be in your yard. You know, you plant them and you give them a good shot of water, maybe once or twice, maybe three times during the summer, and that's all you actually need. And they're going to grow fast and very large, so you got to give them room. You can do if you have a small yard, don't do that. Big leaf maple will, you know, it just won't fit.
I think my daughter is going to have some trouble.
Yeah,
probably. She's got six of those maples from little bitty ones. Now they're real tall.
Yeah.
And like you said, they take very little care.
Yeah.
And the landlord planted it, and I don't know if he knew what he was doing, but They're getting kind of large.
Well, yeah. How big are they, would you say? How tall?
They're well above the height of the house now, so.
Are they spreading out? I mean, the canopies are not.
They seem to be going straight up.
Well, they might be a columnar type where they are narrow.
Oh, you know, so, okay.
Yeah, there's so many different varieties.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe.
So maybe he does know what he's doing.
It could be. It could be. But big leaf maple, our native guy there, they're going to grow fast. Like I say, they only need a little bit of water that first year after planting. And they're going to get big. I mean, they're really going to get big. So give them room. And if you have, like I say, a smaller yard, you might consider some other type of maple that will not have as big of a spread, still give you some shade and all that. And there's, like I say, there's so many to choose from. And you can look around different nurseries and places like that and see,
Are they all pretty durable?
Oh, they're all very durable. You know, Japanese maples, people think that, and I'm talking about durability here, people think that they're some kind of, you know, they're exotic, so therefore they need extra care and they need this and they need that.
Yeah.
They don't need any of that after the first year. I've got some planted on my hillside, and I've said this before, that I planted, 15 years ago.
And
I can't remember the last time I watered them. I mean, the first year or two, I watered them, say, twice a month in June, July, August.
Right.
But after that, I thought, well, let's see what's going to happen. And they grew just fine. They were fully rooted. And I, like I say, I probably have them. There's one up there on my hill, probably, 15 feet tall now. And it's been in at least that many years, 15 years. And I probably haven't watered it in 10 or 12 years.
They actually survived the drought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're a very tough tree. They're just decorative and exotic and tough, but they're not, would you consider, a shade tree.
I bet they're loving that weather now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're doing good. they're doing good. But you get a big leaf maple or some other type of maple, and I've got a list of trees I'm going to talk about today. So it's not just the maples, but there, you know, there's, I don't know. I think there was, I counted the varieties in my, one of my books. I think there was 40 or 50 varieties of different shade maples.
There's got to be one there for everyone.
Oh, yeah. The problem is, you know, not every nursery carries 40 or 50 maples of different breeds that you can choose from.
Yeah.
But in no time at all, you know, like I say, 2 to 3 years, you're going to start enjoying the shade and the coolness that tree brings to your yard. I mean, they actually, the shade is there, and so consequently, the sun's not beating down on every square inch of the yard, and there's a little bit of coolness created.
Mm-hmm.
And the larger
they get,
it's
not heating the house up.
Exactly.
And the
larger they get, the more coolness that you have in your overall yard. So one consequence of that is maybe you don't have to use your air conditioner as much in the summer. Which was good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you keep pressing buttons here.
Well, I'm thinking it's time for a break.
Okay, let's take a break then.
All right. What's our phone number?
673-4464. Any questions, fair game, so don't hesitate to call.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yes, indeed. This is the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, and you can tell us about more varieties of maples.
Yeah, I got a few varieties listed here.
Okay.
And, you know, there's people, like I said, have small yards, so they wouldn't want to put a big leaf maple in there. But a trident maple is native to China and Japan.
Oh, China.
I had to get that in there. And it's like a medium-sized growing tree to about 25 feet, whereas the big leaf maples, they can get up to 90 feet. 80 feet.
Wow.
Yeah,
in that's a pretty good sized tree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very sizable, you know. But the tridents average. When I give sizes, that's kind of an average.
There may be a
perfect conditions
give or
for
take,
a particular tree, and if it's only supposed to get 25 feet and it grows 30, you know, that's no big deal. But on the other flip side of that, if it's bad ground and it struggles a lot, it might only get to 15 or 20 feet, you know.
So, yeah, all depends, as they say.
You got to kind of go with the average.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, it's medium size. It will provide you shade. It would be good for the smaller type of yard. And the fall colors of the leaves are red to orange in the fall this time
of
year. But like I say, it's a pretty tree, but not a fast growing. And it will fit in a small backyard or a small front yard or, you know, to shade a deck or a patio, something like that. And so let's say your backyard's only 30 feet deep and you've got a nice deck out there, but it's on the western exposure. Well, if you planted a trident maple within, say, 10 feet of the deck, mm-hmm. it's not going to do any damage to the deck or the house
in
long term, but it's going to provide a little bit of shade and coolness for you at the same time. So,
just right.
It'll take a while to get there.
Oh, sure.
You just can't get fun.
By then, the wife wants to sell.
Yeah, right. Then there's one called the red maple, and it is native to eastern United States and is a fast grower to about 40 feet with about a 20-foot spread.
Good heavens.
Yeah, but 20-foot, like the big leaf I was talking about earlier,
they can have
a spread 40, 50 feet in time. Yeah. I've got them at my place. They're probably 100 years old, and they're just huge, and they're beautiful. But from the branch tip mm-hmm. to the opposite side of the tree to the other branch tip, it's a good 40 foot from one side of the tree to the other.
Nice. I bet you could camp under that.
Well, yeah, you could build a tree house in there, too.
Yeah.
But
have to call the city on that matter.
No, I don't live in a city, so I don't have to call nobody.
There, that's true, you don't.
But, you know, like I say, the trident is a nice tree, and it'll work. And it has very, very brilliant red fall color. And it's a, like I say, it's an attractive tree with plenty of shade in midsummer. So there are so many, like I said earlier, there are so many varieties of maples and the other trees that I'm speaking of that you can go to, you know, three or four different nurseries and mm-hmm. find probably 10 different types of maples, excluding any of the Japanese maples, but, you know, just what we have around here.
Right,
and you'd just be amazed at the variety and what they'll do. And you need to, if you find something that you like, you want to do some research on it to make sure that it'll fit in your yard. You can get the information from the nursery person, provided they know. And and like I say, look it up in a book.
Google it too.
Yeah, Google. Yeah. The other one I really like is called October Glory Maple. And it's a tall, kind of round-headed tree. And it's one of the last maples to turn color in the fall. It keeps its green leaves probably 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, depending on the summer, the winter mm-hmm. and then the coldness. It'll keep its green leaves on there for a couple extra weeks. Everything else is turning, and it's not quite there.
It ain't ready yet.
No, it ain't ready, but as the other trees are dropping their leaves, this one's starting to turn, and sometimes it'll hold its leaves on there until about December. Yeah.
Nice.
So, and then finally drop off, but it's good. But, you know, maples in general, they're tough, mm-hmm. disease-resistant tree.
A great hardy tree.
Yes, yes. Nothing seems to hurt them except a chainsaw.
No.
Yeah, even tree houses don't hurt.
Was that a South County joke?
I don't know. It's probably Mid-County. I don't live in South
Mid-County.
Mid-County out in the boondocks. But any maple is going to give you shade and fall color. And like I said, there's way too many varieties to go through all the varieties on the show. But, you know, like I say, get a book on maples or go nursery shopping and hopping and see what's available. And you'll eventually find one that that you like. But there's one variety that isn't good for the average size yard.
Uh-oh.
And you never want to plant one close to a structure. And that one is called the silver maple.
Silver?
Yeah. It's probably the fastest of the fast. And it's just a... Oh, I don't know what a good word for it would be, but you wouldn't want one in your yard. It will eat your pipes. It will destroy your yard. I mean, the root system, it's so aggressive. It puts out a massive root system. Mm-hmm. And this thing grows so fast, you can't even believe it. It'll grow 3-4 feet easily in any one year.
Cool.
Yeah, easy.
Nah.
And if it's good ground, it might grow 5 feet in one year. But
that's more than what kids grow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true. But... you don't want to put it near any kind of a structure because...
You're going to put it out by itself in a pasture.
Yeah. Now, that it would be a good pasture tree or something that's 100 feet from a house, you know, something like that, or any structure.
Be a good shade tree for the cattle or whatever.
Exactly. And it's not very colorful in the fall. It kind of turns yellow a little bit and drops its leaves, and that's it. And then it's bare.
It's done.
Next spring.
I think cattle are colorblind anyway.
They don't care. As long as they got a little shade.
That's right. A little water. They're good.
But is of the list of maples that you're going to find, it's going to be the fastest grower of all those shade maples. Uh-huh. And it can grow fast and it can grow 100 feet. 100 feet tall. Yeah.
My gosh. Yeah.
And I've seen them that tall. And it's, like I said, you just said, it's good for pasture, to shade livestock, but not your house.
Mm.
and one of the reasons is that the branches are brittle. And they break very easily in wind or snow or something like that. So if you had fairly close to a structure.
Yeah, not good.
And we get, 8 inches, 10 inches of snow, you can count on some broken limbs falling on your structure or your fence or your garage or your
car.
Or maybe
a good Columbia yeah. Day storm, Columbus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We don't need one of them yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the leaves can be multiple colors. It's pretty in that way. And they'll have scarlet, orange, and yellow in the same leaf. Three colors in the same leaf. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Why? I don't know.
That's interesting.
I have no clue. Yeah, I couldn't get any information on that. But since it grows, like I say, it grows so stinking fast, then those branches are brittle. And you can tell because I've climbed a few, because of doing some tree work and I wanted to cut the tops out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're climbing and there's a branch, say an inch in diameter, inch and a half in diameter. And normally that would support your weight as you're going up.
Yeah.
No, not if it's a silver maple. It could break very easily.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what they are. So don't walk up them. Stay out of them underneath when it's snowing and windy, and you'll be safe. So
and don't plant them close to your house.
And don't plant them close to your house. Now, the next bunch of shade trees, and there's so many other maples I didn't even mention, but the next set of trees I'm going to speak about are oaks.
Oh, yeah, mighty oak.
Yeah, the mighty oak. They're the most hardy of them all, man. And they are they're strong shade trees, and they're slow growing, but they're majestic. They look good.
Oh, they are.
And in our area, we have native white oak and native black oak, California black oaks. And the black oaks, they actually have a very dark bark. They're not black, but they're dark gray, I guess you would be a good, almost black, but not quite.
Mm.
And whereas our Oregon white oak has a lighter looking color of bark. It's not white, but it's not dark at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way of telling the difference. And black oaks are more rare. There's few of them. The white oaks seem to be the predominant tree species on all of our hills, you know, as you're going out to Glide or wherever, and you see a lot of these oaks on the hills. Those are mostly white oak and Oregon white oak. And then the California black oaks are just, they're a very pretty tree, but they're slower. They have pretty pretty foliage, colorful foliage in the fall.
They make good coffee tables.
Yeah, they would. They're very hard wood.
Oh, you bet.
And if you were doing a, you know, a paneling job or a floor job, a black oak floor or wall or something like that, very, very pretty, very just down earthy type looking.
You almost hate to use them for firewood.
Right, right. Yeah. I don't cut any of my black oak for firewood. I've got so darn many Madrone on my on my place, and I'll cut a white oak, but nothing very big. If they're over 12, 14 inches in diameter, I leave them alone. You know, but this, and I got, you know, 1,000 small ones that are 6, 7, 8 inches in diameter. Easy to saw. You don't have to split them. You know, you can just cut them up, and then they're you know, they dry for a year and they're ready to burn.
They're ready to rock.
Yeah, they're ready to go. So that's kind of cool. But I prefer the black oak over, you know, if I'm looking at them and saying, yeah, I want a nice tree in my yard, or and I want something that's going to be long-lived, it's going to look good, it's not going to, the branches won't break easy in a windstorm or anything like that.
Yeah.
I would much prefer the black oak, and because it's slow, and the slower it is, the stronger it is.
Okay.
And it is also native to our area, but in 100 years, I guess it could get to be 100 feet, you know, but we're not going to be, you know, around for 100 years to watch it get to
So
our
the
area.
Ones we see up there in the hills, they're centuries.
They're ancient. Yeah, they're very. I've got a... I had, and I think I still have it, a tree borer where you can bore into the trunk and take out a pencil, a little bit bigger than a pencil size coring of the tree, and you can actually count the annual rings. And I had one, and it's somewhere in one of my boxes in my shop. So one of these days, though, if I can't find it, I'll go buy another one just to see how old some of them are.
It'll
my
be
place.
Interesting to find out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we got a break?
Already we have a break.
Okay, we'll be back. More tree stuff.
More oak on the other side.
No more.
More oak?
I'm not going to talk about no more oak.
Okay. what's our number?
673-4464 if you have a question about tree, shrub, grass. It doesn't matter.
There you go. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, and right off the bat, we have a phone call. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Now, do either one of you remember the Fifth Street Market in Eugene?
I used to, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Remember those beautiful maples they had in the parking lot there?
Oh, vaguely.
Well, they cut them all down.
No.
They're all gone.
Why did they cut them down?
Money.
That's it? I mean...
Filthy lucre.
Oh, lucre.
Oh, yeah, they cut them down so they have more parking space.
Ah, I see.
Well, is that progress?
I used to love that place. There was a restaurant right there by this parking lot / Maple Grove.
Yeah.
And they had the best hamburgers there.
They still in business?
When I first bought my little truck, I'd take my truck up there with my bicycle, and I'd ride all over town.
Stop.
You don't remember me, do you?
I don't. You didn't introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Moyer Bill. Remember Moyer Bill?
Moyer Bill. No, I don't. I'm sorry.
The one that used to work for Moyer when I first came to Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Your old place.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, I was going to say the black oak. I believe this is about its northernmost range is right here.
Yeah, it could be. There's a few. There's not very many are in the Portland area, I've noticed.
Portland area?
Yeah, in the Portland.
Oh, really? I didn't know they were that far north of you.
Yeah. Well, I got a son that lives up in Boring, and so when we drive up there, you know, I'm checking out the landscapes and the trees and all that, and I see very, very few of the black oak.
So is it boring up there?
Yeah, very, very boring.
Well, the oaks, you know, I don't, the black oaks, I think for every 100 white oaks, there's only one black oak.
It seems that way, doesn't it? I mean, they're few and far between.
I know where there's some up the North Bank Road.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen some up there. But you get you get up there past Glide, and you run out of them.
Do you?
Yeah. There's not. Basically, it's. You don't have any white oak up in there either. It's just kind of like out of their range.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I told you I got a Myrtlewood Grove started on my place.
Uh huh.
This is about the northernmost. Range too, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I gave a small one to my son. He lives up in north of Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't live.
Huh.
Mm. I guess it's just a little too cold for him up there.
Well, I don't know if it's cold or but the range they seem to be pretty much an Oregonian type tree.
Hmm. Yeah, they are. Yeah. But even I don't think there's hardly any north of here where I'm at, Sutherland.
Oh, I've seen them up in Blue River.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Not a lot, but normally as you're going up the Mackenzie Highway, you can see them.
Have you noticed all the dead Douglas fir?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere.
I know. It's a shame.
Very.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, well, it's a shame, but it's a such a vital thing in our economy here that.
Well, you know, if I were in charge, all the dead ones would be cut down and used. They leave a lot of dead standing, and that's—I don't think that's a good idea at all.
Yeah. It's killing them.
Well, when they get into a fire, I mean, that kind of sets
them down. You look there at that cut there by Wilbur on the freeway.
Uh-huh.
All of those Doug fir in there that's mixed in with the, what's the good firewood one?
Madrone?
Yeah. Mm. They're all dead.
Oh.
All of them.
Oh.
Well, and I suppose it's because we've had such a dry, hot summers.
Well, probably, yeah, more than likely. But we've had a series of hot, dry summers for the last 3 years.
True.
It's an accumulative effect. As the soil moisture drops and gets more sparse, those trees don't have enough water to stay alive. And if they're on a south slope or a west slope where it's you know, a lot of sunlight, they dry out more quickly. And so consequently, if they don't have the water, they give it up.
Well, I get a permit to go up on this timber company's land, and I noticed that all the little trees that they planted are dying and are dead.
Yeah.
Doug fir.
I know. I've seen it, too.
Well, we have another call coming in. Did you have a question or?
No, I just wanted to talk.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later.
Oops. Little too late on that one. They can call back.
Did we miss him? If you tried to call, we were on a longer call, so please call back, okay?
Yep. All lines are open now.
Yes, and I'm talking about trees and shade and creating coolness in your yard. And we were talking about black oak and at the break there. And they're the slow growers. And in maybe in 100 years, you can get one that's 100 feet. But it has a really pretty dark black bark.
Yes.
And the leaves are very bright and glossy green, and then they turn yellow and orange in the fall. Mm. And they don't. This is a tree that doesn't need any care, and they're hard to come by. I don't know. You can probably find them in some nursery somewhere, but they're very hard to come by. It's just like you don't find too many madrone trees in a nursery, and not too many white oak and not too many black oak. They have more exotic varieties, if you will, but you, if you look around, there are some nurseries up north, larger nurseries that have, they might have one or two. I bought one up in, a fellow called me years ago, and he had a place out in Looking Glass, and he wanted an Oregon white oak, and I said, well, I don't know where to get one, so I got on my catalogs and went through, and I finally found a nursery that was just south of Salem, off the I-5 corridor, about 5 miles or so, and they had them.
Nice.
It was a pretty nice one, so I bought it and planted it for the guy, and he was happy. And he was just a newcomer from, I think, California, and just bought a place there. And he liked the white oaks, and he wanted one in his yard. He had a couple acres, and I built up a mound for him, and so it wouldn't get overwatered. And
I wonder if it's still there.
I hope so. It was pretty good size. It was about a 6-7 footer when I put it in. Yeah.
So it should have survived.
Yeah, and I gave him strict instructions: don't water it, leave it alone.
Mother Nature will do it.
Yes, yes. But at any rate, the black oaks are, like I say, very, very majestic. They're slow growing. They're pretty, and I'm not sure how it would grow in a yard, and you know, especially not in a lawn or anything like that.
Very slowly.
Yeah, but they grow all over Douglas County and in Oregon, not so much to the north as the gentleman and I were just talking about. But if you plant one now, your great-great-grandchildren can enjoy it later on. That's how slow it grows. But it's a great tree for tree houses and tire swings. We had on a ranch we lived on, we had this great big old black oak out there. We built a tree house in it, and there was a tire swing on it, and we enjoyed that tree greatly.
Yeah, if you haven't swung from a tree, you haven't swung.
you ought to write that down so you don't forget it. But it's really a cool tree. But buy a tree, get some shade started, and start cooling the planet. Yeah, I mean, there's all this global warming alarmist talk out there about the planet warming up. And, plant more trees. I mean, there are plenty of places that the communities and cities could plant more trees. And by planting more trees, guess what? You start shading the earth.
Mm-hmm. Get more oxygen.
More oxygen, exactly. And that's a way to cool it.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
We don't have to go crazy and, have this alarmist attitude that we're going to dry up and blow away into the stratosphere.
Die in a year.
Yeah, because the earth is too warm or something like that. So, we can fix it. It's just a matter of willpower. So,
and where, when, and why.
Yeah. And by the way, of all my favorite plants that I've dealt with for 50 years as a nursery owner and a grower and all that, trees are my favorite. I love trees. I always had a good variety of trees at Wintergreen. And when people come in the fall, they saw the trees that were colored up with their orange and red leaves, yellow leaves. That's what I want. I want one of those in my yard. So, yeah, that's good. There's another very unique tree. It's a magnolia tree.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, magnolias. We have some good ones around here in Douglas County.
We do. Yeah. Similar to oak, aren't they?
Yeah, no.
They're big, though.
Well, they can get big, but there's no real similarity to
okay. I was thinking of the size.
Well, size-wise, there could be long-term, but they're a slow grower, too.
Yeah.
But some of these magnolias are evergreen, and some are deciduous. And deciduous, of course, lose their leaves in the winter. But both types grow well in Douglas County and provide color with shade. The leaves, normally, like on a southern magnolia, they're fairly good size, maybe 6 inches long, 4 inches wide. Mm-hmm. And they have beautiful, white, fragrant flowers. And the flowers are huge. The flowers are like, 6-8 inches across. And then when they're in bloom, they're just really magnificent.
Wow.
The problem with them is when they fold up and dry up and drop on the ground, you've got about a foot of dead flowers on the ground. You better clean them up.
But, speaking of which, we got to clean up a break.
Okay, let's go to a break, and I'll get back with some magnolias.
All right. And our phone number.
673-4464 if you have a question.
All right. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And a good afternoon to you. We're back with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, and we're talking magnolia.
Not magnolia. It's magnolia.
Oh, no, A, no. Oh,
magnolia.
Magnolia. Nope, I still didn't say it right.
I know. Well, you practice when you get home or on the way.
That must be my southern accent.
Southern Oregon accent. But magnolia trees, there are some that are evergreen, and you see them all over town, and there's some that are deciduous. They do lose their leaves, but both types grow well in Douglas County, and to provide color and shade. But the most popular are the evergreen varieties because they got the big old glossy green leaves year round. And some grow to a very large tree, which works well for shade.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not a fast grower. They're, you know, considerably, I would say, medium to slow. But if you've got the...
Do they grow faster than oak or about the same?
Probably about the same, yeah. You know, I've never compared them in that respect, but... But in my research, I found, just check this out, when I was researching these things, I found 51 varieties in my Western Garden book. 51 varieties of magnolias. And I thought, I was totally blown away by that. And some grow to be 80 feet tall.
Oh.
And I thought, whoa, man. And there are quite a few varieties average about 10 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a real wide range of growth habit. And so if you want one in your yard, do your homework as to how large that tree is going to get eventually. And if you get one of the, you know, southern magnolias that grows 80 feet, well, put it out there away so it doesn't crash through your roof, you know, one of those stormy days.
Where are you?
And, because
sewer or anything else?
Yeah. Well, and they, like I say, they average some of the big ones, they have between 50 and 80 feet. So they need a lot of space.
Oh, yeah.
And it just doesn't work well next to a house or a driveway or a front porch. Put it out there a ways, you know, 40, 50 feet if you can, if you've got the room, and you'll be safe. And the tree will the tree will thank you for that.
Do all the varieties have the flower on them?
They do, but they're different sizes, different shapes, and different colors. There's some of the flowers are pink and small. Some of them are even, you know, very small, like the size of a half a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them are, gosh, almost a foot across. You know, so it just depends on the variety that you choose. And where you find them as like a native tree is in the southern states.
See, I knew it.
Yeah, they're a southern state tree. But they grow here in Oregon. We've got some around town. As you drive around, you'll see them. Big, giant, right, you know, in the middle of December, they still got all their leaves. And they're big. I mean, I saw some just the other day that I couldn't... The person had like three or four of them in a row.
Oh, my.
And they were fairly close together. Oh. I mean, like, you know, 15, 20 feet apart, it seemed. But I was doing 30 miles an hour, so I couldn't measure it accurately. But it was an estimate. But they were a good 40 feet tall. And on the southern side of their house, so they were getting a lot of shade from it because the leaves, like I say, are large and not much sunlight gets through those leaves, I'll tell you.
That's what I associate with those type of trees.
Yeah.
Southern with the, what do they call them, mansions and on the driveways.
Yeah, like what was that movie? What's his name? Tom Hanks movie?
Oh, Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump, right.
Yeah.
That long driveway.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah, then magnolias down the driveway.
Yeah, that's what I associate him with.
I saw that movie about a week ago. It was on TV.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's on TV. And well, Forrest Gump. All right, I like him.
Is it still as good as it was?
Yeah, it was. I think I've seen it 3 times.
Cool.
See it in a new light each
time.
There
you go. Yeah. Pick up something you missed on the other end.
Yeah. But they do work very well for shade.
Yeah.
And like I said, I found 51 varieties. And I thought, geez Louise, how could there be 51 varieties of magnolia, for crying out loud? I didn't read about each of the 51 varieties, but I am going to just to see what the heck the difference is.
Yeah.
And like I say, some of them grow to 80 feet tall. Some only grow 10 feet tall. Just depends on the variety. And it was quite a few varieties that averaged around 10, 12 feet. And that was it for whatever reason.
Hmm.
So if you want one in your yard, do your homework as to how large that tree is going to get and plant it accordingly. You know, like I say, one that grows 50, 80 feet needs a lot of space. So it's not going to work good next to the house. Okay?
No.
And people make that mistake so frequently over the years as... You know, I get called to a home to do a landscape assessment or a consultation or something like that. And it's, an older home with trees that have been in the ground for 20 or 30 years, something like that. And you look around and go, "Ooh, geez Louise, they're going to have some problems here." And that's part of the consultation that I gave them. I said, you know, you've got these trees, and I know that you love them, and they've been around for a while. But if you took out every other one, you'd still have sufficient shade. But right now, they're fighting for
space.
They're fighting for water. They're fighting for food. You know, there's a battle there. And so they're, in the long run, they're all going to kind of go downhill to a certain extent because
you don't want that.
There's too many roots in the ground.
Right. You know,
too many roots sucking all the nutrients and moisture from the ground. So
do they take you up on it?
Oh, some of them do. Some of them say, "Oh, my grandfather planted them, and I don't know, I can't take one," and blah blah blah. You know, okay, I can understand that.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, but all varieties, they do flower with, like I say, some with large flowers. And those large flowers, when they drop, boy, you've got some cleanup to do, I'll tell you.
Oh, speaking of dropping,
what?
We're out of time already.
Hey, I'm not going to go. Thanks for listening.
Next week, the elm tree, Douglas County Courthouse.
Oh, yeah. I planted that.
You know. I know you did. I was going to ask you. All right, we'll see you next time.
All right, thank you.